Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's matchups episode for the defense. Joining me, as always, is my friend and co-host, Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for the awesome show. Had a real good defensive show talking about the Ravens trying to take away the first read of the Cleveland Browns, really trying to attack Judy and Fannin. They're going to be the main focal point in the offense. And then also, if the Ravens can keep their linebackers clean without the interior offensive lineman of the Browns getting to the second level, so we can see Buchanan maybe get a little more active chasing Judkins down in one game.
Yeah, hopefully the Ravens continue to get to play downhill by forcing the ball out quickly from Gabriel. I think Hamilton is a big part of that in any game, but especially in a game like this, I expect Hamilton to be one of the guys who makes Gabriel concerned about his feet, the way we saw from J.J. McCarthy this week. You get a young quarterback concerned about their feet, they will score the football or they'll dump it off real quick. And dumping off real quick, Ravens are a very good underneath tackle team, a downhill tackling team from linebacker and from safety, and from corner for that matter. And if you get him throwing the ball anywhere down the field and he has a chance to sail the ball, that's when you throw into the arms of Malachi Starks or Alohi Gilman and hopefully get some loose bracket picks this week, as they have a little bit in recent times here. So good start. Why don't you start us off with your first item?
Yep. First item is I have Todd Monken versus Schwartz. It's going to be a crucial matchup to continue to see Todd Monken be creative in the offense, have some different looks that we haven't seen. Last week, obviously, the one is the fake tush push with the toss to Lamar. That was a good little tidbit that we had there. And then also building concepts on top of each other. Lamar had the student body left carry that I thought he was going to score. I don't know how he didn't score. That defender really got a nice tackle. But on the, I think, third or fourth and goal, they went roll out right, kind of looked like student body left with the blocking scheme, and then Mark Andrews wide open in the back of the end zone. So continuing to be creative down in the red zone, make more easier reads for Lamar. Not that he's incapable of reading things on his own, but just make it easier for him. Obviously, we have some deficiencies in the pass pro, but the way you not have that exploited is continuing to make easier throws for the quarterback. The quick pass game is going to be crucial. We continue to see screens, short passes, quick hitches, like especially the one to Bateman down in the red zone where he almost scored. That's an example of just getting the ball out to your playmaker and getting the opportunity to make a play up field. Schwartz is a real good defensive coordinator. He shows a lot of different looks. Obviously, they have Myles Garrett. They have Graham in the interior. So they have guys that can just flat out get to you. So the Ravens have a lot on their plate this week. And it really starts with Todd Monken coming in and making sure he can be creative enough to make holes for the offense, to make opportunities. So we can get more of a comfortable lead and we can get into a situation where we can maybe open up the playbook more, like we saw in the first meeting against these two teams, where it seemed real close in the beginning. And then as the quarters weared on in the third and the fourth quarter, the Ravens pulled more and more away, more down the field throws, more big splash plays, really grind out type of game. So continuing, want to see that, continue to build on it. More faster start, obviously, than last game.
Yeah, Schwartz is a defensive coordinator who can do things a lot of different ways. In the first game against the Ravens, he kind of laid off the blitz a little bit, which was interesting because he rushed 4-20 times, 5-8 times, and 6-4 times, which I say is pretty light for him. So they were under 4.5 pass rushers per play. Last week, the Vikings were at 5.27. pass rushers per play. So it was pretty much an all-out affair. I do think with Lamar's success so far in the season, there have been more teams that have gone to a crowding of the line of scrimmage, forcing Lamar to beat them with throws. And even though he's got 127 passer rating and is threatening the all-time record, they're still saying, you need to beat us with your arm. We're not going to just give you all the easy elements, or you're going to pick where you want to attack us by us dropping off and kind of playing a soft zone against you. So they've been facing a lot more bodies at the line of scrimmage, and Lamar needs to be effective at dealing with that. He also needs to be effective at figuring out how to deal with it when the Browns get their pass rush home with four, which is very possible. Yep. That they'll be able to do. But Schwartz is an interesting matchup because I don't think he has to play it any particular way. Lamar did get 34% ample time and space the first time, so that wasn't really a problem. Last week, by the way, in Minnesota, if you happen to miss it, only 2 of 30 dropbacks resulted in ample time and space. So that's only 7%. That can't happen again. The Ravens have to find a better way, or if it does, they need to find a way to attack it and go over the top against a defense that tries to do that, not just go out to the side, get it out in space, do this or that. So they need to actually beat them over the top to punish them, to flog them for trying that. So I guess we're rolling right into the Jackson versus the blitz, which was my point, and very obviously closely related to what you brought up with Schwartz here, is they really need to find a way to manufacture time and space when the Browns rush four. So the Browns are a good set of frontline pass rushers with Malik Collins and Graham, and I'm forgetting the other edge other than Myles Garrett, but he's having a big year as well.
Yeah, he's in a big year too. Yeah.
And they've got four guys who can rush the passer, and that's something. It's they got Trajan Schwoika, but I think they traded him. I think it's not Jerome Baker. Anyway, I'm losing exactly who it is that they have there, but they have good choices on the edge to rush the passer. And the Ravens are going to need to find ways to stop the four-man pass rush, and it may mean committing six to do so on a lot of plays. So they even when the Browns rush four, they may still need an extra setter slash chipper to get the job done. And they probably need to roll the pocket away from Myles Garrett as well some. If the Browns crowd the line of scrimmage, then they open up all of the Ravens' misdirection weapons. So that is something that will benefit the Ravens if they're willing to show a four-man rush even. If they crowd the line of scrimmage, then misdirection is severely hampered. You have a very hard time getting Lamar outside of a pocket. We saw Van Ginkle in particular, but other edge defenders for the Vikings do a good job of not only rushing the passer, but guarding the exits on screen passes. So they were out there kind of in the potential passing lanes, even for screens. That was detrimental to the Ravens offense this last week at Minnesota.
Yeah. And I think that's the one thing about the screen game that does cause a raise of concern. Really, it's when they do get in the windows. Lamar is really, really good with the arm angles, so most of the time it's not going to be intercepted or batted up to the point where it's interceptable. I think Lamar does good enough to the point where he's able to get it to the angle where it probably, if it does hit someone's arm, it's probably going to go down or sideways or not just pop up straight in the air. I think the way we do defeat that is I think they're waiting for the right time. This might be the right time against a divisional opponent, but they have to hit the fake screen and go. I think that's the one way you really stop the defenses from playing with their front foot or playing on their front end of their foot. I think if the run game isn't working and the pressure is getting to us and we have to get to the screens, we have to have that adjustment in the game plan in order for us to continue to have success, because unless we show them we have a counter or that they have some flaw in their defense, they're just going to keep sending pressure if we can't stop it. So we did that with Minnesota last week. We had a struggle in the beginning of the game, really with that one. Really, the first drive was the best drive. No, I'm trying to think which drive it was where we had the field goal, but it was a nice drive. I'm blanking, but either way, I think they're going to continue to.
I think you're talking about the second drive. They had a couple drops which stalled the drive by the tight ends.
Exactly, that was the one. Yeah, we're likely dropped the ball. Yep, that was a really good drive. Continuing to show that we can handle the pressure, handle the blitz, quick throws to Andrews, quick throws to Day, just get them out there in space. Bateman on a quick hitch, like continuing to make it easy for Lamar just to boom it down the field, not have to rely on the blocking scheme to hold up. I think that's the main thing.
All right. Certainly agree with that. I think we've covered enough of all that that I don't need to really respond to it. I will say the biggest thing I think for the Ravens this week is going to be to play successful point of attack football. You know, they only rushed for 4.2 yards per carry, and that's kind of un-Ravens like last week. Henry had kind of a down day with 3.7 or something yards.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
It's precarious, but it wasn't terrible considering the fact that the Vikings knew the run was coming a lot of the time. The Ravens were trying to get the game over with, and they still had five first downs on the last 17 minutes of the game, five first downs rushing in the last 17 minutes of the game. That was very good. I think they need to play good point of attack football if the Browns do anything like what Minnesota did and what some of the other teams have done in terms of crowding the line of scrimmage. And it means you're going to need to use Ricard on a larger number of snaps, which I don't really see as an issue this week. They won't have Hill. They probably actually want Ricard for some more blocking situations. I don't anticipate he's going to be a single back on third down or anything, but I think that they'll be using him more as a tight end because they don't have Hill in this game, or they may not have Hill. And then they'll be trying to find ways to make Keaton Mitchell a useful receiver in this game that should be fun. But they point of attack football will be necessary if the Browns crowd the line of scrimmage, and you need it in order to pierce that first layer. And then you can still get good runs even when the line of scrimmage is crowded if you're able to win at the point of attack. And the Ravens in recent years have certainly been able to do that, and they don't have to depend on Lamar Jackson to run the football if you do that.
Yep, and just to touch on Keaton Mitchell's usage, when they put him in the ball, when they do put him in the ball game and they give him the ball, he does have a big play, or at least a 9+ yard carry. But what I didn't like is after the second big run, they essentially just called the same toss play to the left. Mm-hmm. And it was just not creative at all. I'm like, okay, that's kind of stupid. I know it worked, but like, give the guy a different play to work with. You know, like if you're trying to be really creative with Keaton Mitchell in the backfield, you gave him a toss, you gave him a handoff up the middle, I don't know, do something different. Try and give him a screen pass or something. Like,
yeah.
Think of different ways that you can get him involved instead of thinking like hammering a nail with a soft hammer. It'll take a minute, but you just got to keep hammering it. I don't know why we take that route instead of just taking a sledgehammer and just going through it.
One of the things that was really impressive about Mitchell, by the way, this summer was his transition from catch to run with the football. Now, I don't know if that has shown up as a problem in their practices since, but it was great this summer. I mean, he's just it's lightning turning the ball upfield to make plays. And I'd love to see him more involved in the passing game. And also, if you put him out at a flanker position, if you're a really old Colts fan like me and you remember Joe Washington, that's the kind of player Keaton Mitchell could be. He could be all over the field catching the football, outrunning players in the secondary, creating all sorts of mismatches down the field if that's what you want. If you can run Justice Hill on a wheel route too, and they've done that some in recent times, I mean, Keaton Mitchell is that much faster. And 100%. And he catches the football pretty darn well too. And I hope he would be a guy that they would consider doing that with.
Totally agree. Moving on to the last matchup, I have the Ravens interior offensive line pass protection versus the Browns pass rush. I mean, if we want to have a successful day, we're going to have to throw the ball. And in order to do that, we have to protect Lamar. And we've had problems with the offensive line. They've been better these past couple of weeks. But as you noted, we only had two ample time and space opportunities out of 30 last week, which is not acceptable at all. So we need to continue to work on that. We're going to have a tough task. Ronnie has had a good year considering the supporting cast he's had around him. I think obviously we expect a lot from Ronnie, but I think with what he's had to work with on the opposite side of him, he's been able to hold his own pretty good. Myles Garrett is not going to be an easy task. So I expect a lot of chips, a lot of Charlie Kohler. I'm interested to see if they'll put Likely over top of Garrett and how much they want him chipping. Because we really do need Isaiah downfield making some plays. I think Andrews and Kohler are probably the best candidates to stay in and chip, or Ricard as well. Keep forgetting he's part of the lineup too. So, and then if we don't have Hill, we're going to need Henry to really step up in the pass pro department. He's really good at chopping his guy's leg. I think he does have problem staying engaged up high. So if he's able to really just get Lamar enough time to step up or step out of some pressure is going to be key for Derrick Henry. Because I think they're on to him with how he comes down and chops the guy's leg, so they could easily just jump over him and the guy's still in Lamar's face and he can bat the ball down. So that would be my focus for the pass rush, just continuing to chip Myles Garrett. And then if the interior pass rush does come through, then without Hill, we're going to need Henry to really step up in the pass pro department.
Well, the interior pass rush has been a huge problem for the Ravens the last few weeks. And in particular, Tyler Linderbaum was terrible against the Vikings. Just awful. He had two good games in a row before that, but the Vikings interior guys were too much for him. And specifically, Javon Hargrave was a nightmare. To really everybody on the interior, but Linderbaum took most of the pressures in there. He contributed to 6 pressure events, 3 fulls and 3 halves, as I scored it, en route to an F. If I look back to the first Cleveland game, what did Linderbaum do in that? Yeah, D- in that game, gave up 2.5 pressures. Now, my recollection is that Malik Collins kind of took him to the woodshed in that game. And it's been a while. I haven't looked at it in a while. I know Ronnie Stanley definitely got taken to the woodshed by Myles Garrett in that first game. So, had his, well, is either his first or second best game of the year, depending on how you look at it. He was worse against the Rams, who was only in 21 snaps, but against the Cleveland, he scored a 38 raw score. And even with, I gave him the maximum possible adjustment for facing Myles Garrett, he's still about 12 points shy of a passing grade in that game. So awful, awful game for Stanley in week 2. And I don't know if he's up to it. I really don't. And the Ravens don't really have a second choice. You've probably noticed that Carson Vinson was active ahead of Noteboom this last week. So do you really want Carson Vinson to face his first NFL action at left tackle against Myles Garrett?
That'd be a nice learning experience, I'll tell you that much. There's no other outside edge that could be teaching you everything that you need to know other than Myles Garrett. But obviously, we don't want to see Carson Vinson out there. Well, really in any capacity this year, because that would mean Ronnie Stanley's not healthy.
Right.
And we don't need that. So, I mean, is that interesting, though, that how they just
– fascinating.
They did that with just sitting Noteboom and then just elevating Carson. Like, what's the benefit in that?
It enormous portent in that move. It means they think Carson Vinson is more ready than Joe Noteboom is, because even – you might do it even if you did think he was more ready. You might want to not take the chance. And anytime you might still say Noteboom is the safe play. He's not as good, but what basically Warhop is saying is that, look, Carson Vinson's ready to go. He's as ready as he'll ever be. If we need a backup to Ronnie Stanley, he's the guy who could step in and give us, you know, something maybe above replacement level play. They already kind of know Joe Noteboom. That's where he is. But to healthy scratch Joe Noteboom for Carson Vinson in a middle of the year game against Minnesota on the road. I mean, just, it's an unbelievable vote of confidence in Vinson that they did that.
Yeah. And then, and not to mention, we still have Emory Jones situation lingering where we don't know what's going on with that.
He's not Emory Jones is not threatening the tackle situation. For, so oh, yeah, wherever you think Emory Jones will play, it'll be either guard or maybe right tackle in an emergency 100%. If something happened.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm just focusing on left tackle. Vincent is in his career will be left tackle or nothing. Any of this BS about Vincent playing guard or even possibly playing right tackle, I don't see it other than on an emergency basis there. But his body and his feet and everything, I mean, they're built to play left tackle and nothing else really effectively. So, you know, if they wasted him somewhere else, I'd be pretty upset. He could be a good tackle in this league. And I am so high on what's going on with the rookies right now, obviously with Starks and Green, you know, playing well. Green is on the injury report this week, which is a little bit concerning, but Buchanan is coming around and playing well.
And he hides under the radar too.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I mean, good player, no doubt about it. But then you have Vincent, and he's never played an NFL snap. And I've got every reason to be high on him if Warhop is saying, look, he's the better choice than Noteboom to be the backup to Stanley. That is unbelievable tacit praise that he's on that list.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree.
All right. Always great pleasure doing this show with you, Frazier. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me on Twitter /X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. Thanks. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you're otherwhere and you'd like to do us a favor, either tell one new person about the show. That's really what I always ask of people. Show them an older person maybe how to listen to the show directly off of their desktop. Because it's easy to do. You just go to the website, you hit play there, and you can hear it. And you don't have to get involved in all this young person podcast stuff. And I think a lot of older people like my age are really kind of averse to podcasts in general. So I think there is an audience still to be had there. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you next time on Matchups.